Angus at Work, a podcast for the profit-minded cattleman. Brought to you by the Angus Beef Bulletin, we have news and information on health, nutrition, marketing, genetics, and management. So, let's get to work, shall we?
Hello, and welcome back to Angus at Work. Proper nutrition to support the development and continued health of breeding females can typically be found at the top of every producer's list of concerns. But what if adding a supplement to your existing ration could potentially boost fertility and performance? I'm Lindsay McAnally, and on today's episode, you'll hear more from Shauna Hermel and our guest, Dr. Frank White, about feed additives and their potential effect on heifer maturity, the fertility of your cow herd, overall nutrition, and more. So let's dive in. Today's episode of Angus at Work is brought to you by Westway Feed Products. Westway Feed Products liquid feed supplements increase forage utilization, delivering consistent nutrition to your herd, creating efficiency and sustainability for your beef operation. To learn more or to locate a dealer near you, call 800-800-7517 or go to westwayfeed.com.
My job title is Beef Cattle Technical Consultant, and I really, I guess I have two parts of my job. One is I do some research, either with R&D or aftermarket research, and then I do, the big majority of my job is to support our sales force. So that can be producer meetings, that can be troubleshooting issues, anything that they need, we're just there. I don't have sales responsibilities, but really just sales support for them.
Okay.
So we're just a kind of a resource for our sales team.
Okay. Now, we're talking today about a program of some research that you've done on optimizing health in cattle and improving fertility, correct?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, fertility, it's a little different than that, but it affects reproduction, absolutely.
Okay.
So, University of Arkansas and Oklahoma State did a meta-analysis, and the goal was, Rumensin's been approved since the 70s, and they looked at all the research that's been done in beef cows and beef heifers, and really wanted to look at what's consistent across all the research. So it's hard when you look at one study and this study shows an effect, this study doesn't, but when you can look across all of the research and you see a significant effect that's true in all of those studies, then really you can start to draw some conclusion. What is Rumensin really doing in the beef cow and in the beef heifer? And that's called a meta-analysis.
Yep. So they did kind of a big white paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's okay. And those are really popular now, but yeah.
So what did they find when they...
So in beef cows, we'll start there and then we'll come back to beef heifers. So let's take a step back. So what Rumensin does is, number one, it controls coccidiosis. And then number two, it provides more energy. And so then the question is, what does the beef cow or the beef heifer do with extra energy? So, Rumensin, it decreases, it changes. So the rumen's a big fermentation vat full of bacteria, right? And those are gram positive and gram negative. When you feed Rumensin, you're just getting more gram negative bacteria. And so gram negative bacteria are more efficient. They don't produce as much methane gas and carbon dioxide. Well, that carbon in those two gases are really energy. So we're grabbing that carbon and not releasing it to the environment. We're going to use it for energy. And so that's really how Rumensin works. And so in the feed
yard... So you are actually having that reduction in carbon footprint that
absolutely.
We want, or methane?
And,
okay.
I mean, there's no secret. That's where we're heading with this.
Yep,
absolutely.
Yep.
And there's studies that have proven that as well. But,
okay.
If we go back, then it's what does those animals do with the extra energy. So the beef cow, what is she going to do with extra energy? Well, number one, she's lactating, so it increased milk production.
Okay.
By almost a pound per day. Number two, it decreases the postpartum and estrus interval, which, your readers probably know what that is. A lot of commercial cow-calf guys don't. But the postpartum and estrus interval is the time from calving to when they start cycling. So, a mare has a foal, she starts cycling immediately. Beef cow will take a time. And shortening that interval is important to having a calf every year. So, but more importantly, 19% more cows were cycling when you started breeding.
Okay.
And that's the key. And that's all related to energy. We We also decreased dry matter intake by 8%. So we did all of that, decreased postpartum energy level, 19% more recycling, increased milk, and we did that on 8% less feed. And the reason that is most animals eat to meet their energy requirements. You get more energy, you eat less. Okay. And a matter of fact, there's a study also that was published last year in agronomy that one of my counterparts did that showed that you can increase stocking rate by 9% if you feed rumensin.
Oh, so wow. Kind
of the same thing. Those cows are eating less, so you increase. So the numbers match up perfectly.
Okay.
Yep. And the recommended dose for cows is 200 milligrams. That dose for heifers, 200 milligrams also. So the feed efficiency, I think, is hard for cow-calf guys to really wrap their mind around, but certainly a driver of profitability. So for example, on those cows, if hay is $150 a ton, that's about a $30 return in feed savings over 100 days.
Okay.
So that's cows. Yeah. And controlled coccidiosis. So, you get all of those benefits. And that, it's hard to put an ROI on, 19% more cycling, more increase in milk production, but both of those are going to increase weaning weights, right? Because if more of your cows breed early, we all wean on the same day, those calves are going to be older.
So now with coccidiosis shedding with cows, does that make it less likely for the calves to pick that up?
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. So I get a lot of calls when calves are like 1 to 2 months age. Mm-hmm. Hey, my calves are breaking with cocks, so what's going on? And so there's some study, the original work was done out of Germany that showed that cows shed cocci, 2 weeks before calving to 2 to 3 weeks after. And so,
because that's when they're stressed.
They're stressed, yeah. So they don't have full-blown cocci. It may be like 60 eggs per gram, but still, that gets in the environment. These calves come along, eat it. It takes about a month, and then you have cocci in the calves.
Okay, and you said 2 to 4 weeks after?
When I get calls?
Calving? No, yeah, 2 weeks before to 2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, that's not a defined period. A few weeks before to a few weeks after, I think is probably better. That's an area that probably needs to be studied more, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But I do believe that, the lady that wrote that paper from Germany now works at University of Wyoming.
Okay.
And she literally wrote the book on Imeria or cocci and beef cows. And so she has some kind of a little bit of data from their testing program that backs that up in the U.S.
Okay.
But we really need more studies, in the U.S. But absolutely, I believe that's true because, it matches perfectly when these calves are getting cocci and breaking with cocci. So, ever since I've been working in the field, we use rumensin to clean up our herd, to get rid of cocci in our herd.
Moving on to the heifers.
All right, heifers. So heifers are growing, right? So what's a growing animal do with more energy? We saw a 5% increase in average daily gain. We saw a 9-day decrease in the time to first estrus. They reach estrus 9 days sooner is probably a better way to say that.
Okay.
And then I think more importantly, just like the cows, 16% more recycling at the beginning of the breeding season. And that's an important number for heifers because, if you look at Rick Funston's data in Nebraska or others, it's been repeated that the earlier those heifers get bred, the earlier they're calved, the longer they're going to stay in your herd.
In the herd.
So getting them bred early is really important. And so we had, 16% more cycling at the beginning of the breeding season. Another really cool number on heifers is in the feed yard, cattle, over 90% of the cattle in the feed yard are fed an iron four rumensin.
Okay.
And they have a 5% improvement in feed efficiency.
Okay.
So, but these heifers had a 14% improvement in feed efficiency. So, we're threefold of what you see in the feed yard on these heifers.
So why do you think that was
It's a combination
true?
Of an increase in average daily gain and a decrease in intake, just like the cows, like we talked about. And it's just a really big, you're increasing gain, you're eating less to do it, it throws feed efficiency really high. I think it is also tied to roughage.
Okay.
And there's more energy in roughage that you can get out with something like rumensin than in the feed yard. Because in the feed yard, we're feeding starch, we're kind of maximizing energy.
Yeah.
So we still get a bump, but not as much as if you're on, grass. So I think there's two things that limit rumensin's use in cows. Number one, it's education. Our industry looks at rumensin as a feed yard product, but really, because it just gives more energy, there's a place from the cradle to the grave. I think the other thing is, how do I get it to them? So educating producers, which we're trying to, we've really amped up our efforts to do that, and that's a lot of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I get it in my cattle? I think it depends on how you supplement your cows.
Okay.
So, a lot of times where I work out in the West, forage isn't limiting. So I would even recommend you don't feed rumensin until you start supplementing. supplementing.
Okay.
And when you start supplementing, that's where that feed efficiency becomes important. So, you know, in the summer or fall, whenever you start supplementing, that's when I would feed it. So, you know, certainly where I grew up in the South, that, you know, we feed cake or cubes.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer to put it in cake or cubes. I think if you're feeding a TMR up in the north and to the west, I think absolutely that's a no-brainer as well. That's just like a feed yard diet. You know, almost all feed yard cattle get it. All cows should get it because you're losing 8% efficiency. You're overfeeding by 8% if you don't. Outside of that, there's some, I've worked with customers who've mixed it with distillers, and they feed distillers every day. They mix it with grain. I mean, it just really depends on how am I supplementing my cows. And I'd say work with your nutritionist or your feed company, and they can figure out how to make it happen.
Okay.
But that's a good point. That seems to be, one of the limiting factors.
So as far as just waiting until you start providing supplement, maybe in the fall or winter or right before breeding?
That's been my default. Now, when you go to, because I work in like big cow, big country.
Uh-huh.
If you go to the east where pastures are more limited, and if grass is limited, that recent study would say, hey, feed it and you can stalk 9% more.
So, okay.
But I think when you're out, if grass is not limiting you, absolutely I wouldn't feed it because, I mean, you're getting more improvement in feed efficiency, but you got tons of grass there.
Is there any need to try and make sure that you segregate your herd on, like your twos and threes from your mature cows?
Not to feed Rumensin. Rumensin would benefit all of them. Body condition score drives everything.
Okay.
If you look at the commercial cow herd, there's a lot of too thin cows that are too thin. So body condition score drives everything. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, so I'm a big believer in separating your thin cows or your two-year-olds from, because your two-year-old, that's an interesting phenomenon there, because you have a calf that's growing still.
Uh-huh.
You got a calf that's lactating as a first calf heifer. And then you also have you want her to get bred. So that's the three biggest nutritional stressors on one animal. It's also the most common time we cull our herd. So, absolutely, separating off your first calves, your heifers, and your thin cows pays dividends. Otherwise, those big fat cows, you're just overfeeding.
So if we had producers that were questioning whether they wanted to try it and see if they got the benefit, would you suggest that they maybe use those 2 and 3 year old cows as a place?
Yeah, there's a study that was published in early 2000s that they took more range cows.
Okay.
So lower body condition, and they you increase pregnancy rates by 11% by feeding Rumensin. So my point is, and I think that's due to energy too, but I really think it's those thin. Yeah, cows and those young cows they're going to get your biggest bang for your buck in those. Absolutely. And that's actually the hardest part. I've been doing this for a long time. What drives people to Rumensin? Drought.
Yeah.
Because of that feed efficiency, they can cut down on feed cost, or I can run more cows in the same feed that I have. Once you get them started, though, there's all these other benefits that we talked about, and the control and coccyx, they usually stay on it.
Okay.
And so, if they wanted to try it in young and thin cows, that makes sense.
Okay. Yep. So let's talk about the climate angle of it, and what is it doing there? How does that work again? And
I think that's where we're heading with Rumensin in cows. It does decrease methane and carbon dioxide. That's been proven. And so now it's, I think that as an industry, we're in the infancy stage of this, and how do we get credit to somebody who wants to feed Rumensin to their cows? I mean, that's where we're working, and we work certainly with Athium, which is a carbon credit company.
Okay.
And we're developing, they're called protocols, and once those are approved, we're at the beginning of this, but that certainly is a direction we want to go. And I think we'll help drive actually adoption into cow herds as well. But to me, sustainability and all this environmental stuff really is all about efficiency in those cows.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather use the term efficiency than sustainability, but certainly it's good for the cows. And if someone wants to give you money for doing something that already makes sense, then I have no problem with that.
A lot of those carbon credits kind of are geared toward you making something to improve. Is it better to start now or wait until you can get credit?
Yeah, I talked about Athian is they mint carbon, and creating a carbon market. Well, Uplook lets you measure and set your baseline. for your methane production, and then you can make changes in the future. So okay. I guess my point is we hope that you can get carbon credit even if you're feeding rumensa now, but we don't know.
Okay.
To answer your question. But I think for all the benefits we talked about, the carbon credit won't come close to what you would get paid for doing that.
Yeah. So is there anything that we haven't covered that you think that is important to our audience?
I think we did a good job of covering the effects of rumensin for cows and heifers. And I think the only thing would be, you know, you could reach out to your Elanco technical consultant or Elanco sales rep, or you can reach out or look up Trusted by Generations.com.
Listeners, for more information on making Angus work for you, check out the Angus Beef Bulletin and the Angus Beef Bulletin Extra. You can subscribe to both publications in the show notes. If you have questions or comments, let us know at abbeditorial@angus.org. And we would appreciate it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this episode with any other profit-minded cattlemen. Thanks for listening. This has been Angus at Work.